The reality is all what we have talked is briefly summarized in that verse, forsaketh not all that he has. See, we can talk about parents, we can talk about this, but the Lord gives the whole summary in that forsaketh all not. This is why it requires discipleship. When you come on the coast, Brother Emil was touching on the sitting. Sometimes we have to rest in the presence of the Lord and count the coast. It is also, he gives another example, the warring require counseling, and coming back to the resources. I mean, sometimes we want to make decisions, and as a disciple, and this and that, and you know what? It's wonderful to take the Lord as the best counselor, and counsel with him, and count the cost of that warfare. So he has said about three times, you cannot be my disciple. This means, if you'll do it, you'll be my disciple. So the first one we said, preference and priority. The second one we have discussed together is bearing, if you want to put it, suffering and following. And the third one he says, you cannot be my disciple, is verse 33. Verse 33 he says, and whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all, he cannot be my disciple. So the question is now, what is all? So we spoke about family, natural ties. We spoke about identifying in a sense of conformed with our own cross that might be different to each one of us. But forsaketh all is really, it brings it more home to me. Believe it or not, in the scripture there were those that were willing to leave a mother and a father. There were some. But there is something that they were not willing to leave. And that's possession. My own possession. This is why we have that example of the young ruler, that he had a great possession. And the Lord loved him. But you know, when he told you, go sell and give to the poor, he went away sad because he had a great possession. Young ones, I think we have put much emphasis on counting the cost. Counting the cost requires affections for Christ. Counting the cost requires suffering for Christ. Counting the cost requires following Christ. And counting the cost requires giving up. If the Lord wants you to do something, then you are willing to give it all up, regardless of what it is. That goes beyond natural ties. It could be my own work. It could be my own bank account. It could be whatever it is. And the Lord is not telling us, do it, do it. No, no, no. He's just showing us an example that if it required the discipleship, what the Lord wants you to do is to forsake all, then the challenge is, are you prepared? Are you prepared? So that's very challenging to each and every one of us.
5 minutes left for young people.
Really appreciate what John was mentioning about, it's not just about repression, it's not just about kind of like not going towards these things. It's, I think one thing we really need to realize that if we continue to continue on these directives that we've been talking about following the Lord, giving up all these things, renouncing ourselves and our rights and all these things, they're great, 100% great, and they're very important. However, if we continue to do these in our own efforts, we'll continue to fail, and we'll continue to be frustrated, and it'll just be a vicious cycle. That's why we read in 2 Timothy, that passage we were looking at, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It is by His grace. It is beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus and what He has done when He has come to this scene. It is beholding what He's done for us, what He's purchased for us, the worth we now have in Him, as Paul was mentioning in the letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, talking about the surpassing worth of knowing Him, right? It's looking at that, not just kind of looking into ourselves and going hard at these directives, but looking at that grace, realizing what has been done for us. And it's also, we need to realize too that we're not forsaking pleasure. This is the greatest pleasure. We're actually pursuing the highest joy. in following after Christ. There's nothing that can match up to that, and we've all experienced it. Everyone, as our brother here was talking about everyone has their own cross they bear, and everyone has their thing that, you know, that they have difficulty giving up. And that thing may, in one way or another, cause us pleasure. We think that it gives us pleasure, but each and every one of us here can attest to the fact that pleasure is transient, that it doesn't last, that it always leaves us bankrupt rather than pleased. And so this is about bearing our cross and following after Christ is 100% about pleasure. It's pleasure in Him alone, the highest joy that we could ever attain to. And we read that in Psalms chapter 16, at His right hand are pleasures forever. We read that in Psalm 37, delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. We read that in Psalm 1, happy is the man. Happy. Holiness is happiness. And following after Him is the source of the greatest pleasure.
You know, I was just going to link that with what Uncle John said earlier about the rich young ruler. He didn't just have to give up everything. He had to give up everything so he could gain that one thing he was lacking. As believers, we have to lose our lives to save them, as is said all the time. And I was thinking especially about verse 26, and we keep going back here, but in Luke, you have to hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brethren. And I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 12. He identifies all believers as His brothers, as his brethren, as His family. And so, we have to hate our brothers and sisters in order to expand our family, right? Because that's what Christ did there in those verses, that He enlarged His family. And I was thinking also, specifically, just because of the contrast, hating your wife. And I'm thinking of Ephesians 5. As believers, brethren, we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So to love my wife on that, I don't have a wife, but for the believer to love his wife on that level, he first, in Luke chapter 26, has to hate her. So, as believers, we're forsaking ourselves, we're forsaking our relations, to enter into an even deeper level of things. We're forsaking ourselves, we're forsaking all of these things, to, as Joe said, enter into an even deeper understanding and enjoyment of them.
David, the last word.
Just very quickly, I want to just read one verse, because, you know, in Matthew 19, verse 27, the Peter says to him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You could hear the voice of Peter and the other disciples as they looked upon, you know, the fact that they left Matthew the Levite, left everything, followed him. And Brother John, you mentioned the verse, he says, unless you forsake everything and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And you hear their voice as they said, look, we've left everything. You know, what are we gonna have? And the Lord answers and says, you know, there is not one person that is forsaken. And he says the same things that we have just said. Houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, etc. shall not receive 100-fold and shall inherit in everlasting life. And I was just thinking, you know, we mentioned this in the beginning, that there is a tremendous reward for following after the Lord. Remember what Abraham said? He said, what am I gonna receive? And he said, God has to say, look, I am your exceeding great reward. Is there a better treasure that we have than to have the knowledge, as you said, Brother Tony, to have the knowledge of God and the Son of God and be able to walk in the step? And then lastly, you know, Moses was mentioned, and in chapter 11, it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He did this counting the cost. That's what esteemed means. He put on two sides all of the wealth that there was to Egypt, and he put on the other side the reproach of Christ. And he said, when I put these two things on this scale, the reproach of Christ is far, it doesn't even come to compare against everything that this world has offered. So listen, there is, and he had respect to the recompense of the Lord. That means he looked ahead and knew that God is no man's debtor. That there is a reward that God has for each and every person that faithfully leaves things, that forsakes self, that denies self, that puts Christ's interest first above his own and above others. And God, again, is no man's debtor. And so it's a wonderful thing to follow after the Lord. There are going to be individuals that we're going to look at between today and tomorrow that, you know, had resources and didn't do anything with those resources. They didn't count the cost. They didn't reproach the esteem of Christ. far greater riches. And they lost. They lost the reward. And there are individuals that followed after the Lord and received tremendous reward. And again, we don't just follow to receive what the Lord has to give us. God said, I am your exceeding great reward. So what a tremendous privilege that we have as young people, as Christians, as older ones, to be able to have the knowledge of the Son of God and to be able to be associated with Him.
Yeah, maybe someone can close in prayer and give thanks for the meal.